Off the Ball
Rugby.
There is no price, there's no World Cup, there's nothing that can replace your health. There's nothing bigger in the game of rugby than keeping your players safe.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Very welcome along. It is Off the Ball Breakfast. It is Friday morning. It is the 15th of August. It is 7:30, and we have loads to come between now and around 9:30 or so on the show this morning. 7:30
is the current time.
We've got to start talking the papers very shortly. A few interesting stories across the back pages in the sports sections this morning. Barry Murphy is going to be in the studio with us at around 8:05 as well to talk. Well, the League of Ireland teams in European action this week. Shamrock Rovers progressing. Very impressive performance in their second leg against Balcani last night. 4-1 they progress on aggregate. Particularly strong performance from Rory Gaffney. And the Pats exiting Europe at the hands of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's Besiktas, although putting up a fight last night, losing 3-2 on the night over in Turkey. John Bruin will join us from around 8:30 to take a wider look, because it is Christmas Day, the start of the Premier League season tonight, as Liverpool take on Bournemouth at Anfield. We'll get into a few of the teams. Newcastle was one of the teams we wanted to touch on, but of course we'll touch on a few others as well. Premier League kits and predictions is on your screen. Colin Buhig is here. Colin Buhig, good morning.
Yes, sir.
Arthur James O'Dea is here. Good morning, Arthur.
Story.
So Premier League kits and predictions.
I love teenager it. I love work it. Experience over there.
Story.
Sorry, boy. Yeah. Where's my fat break?
So Premier League kits and predictions. As I said, it's Christmas Day. Premier League starts tonight. Yeah. We're so excited. We're buzzed. What can we expect from a footballing perspective on the show? We're buzzed. We're buzzing.
It's huge. This is a football show.
Yes.
And we do everything on Off the Ball Breakfast, on Off the Ball generally, but we're all in on football today. So in that regard, I decided to make it a little bit special. Like you say, it's Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So I've done a Dave Kitson slot.
I see what ranking, you've done. It took me a second.
Ranking all the 20 Premier League home jerseys for this season from 20-1 in descending order. And a special bonus feature, I will also rank the top 5 non-home Premier League jerseys this season. It's not necessarily away. Could be alternative / third choice kits, but non-home.
So get your comments in on the YouTube channel, basically is what you're saying. On kits, but also on predictions, Colin.
And I feel like a lot of explanation would be needed on my part, because a lot of people won't have seen the kits until this weekend. Mm-hmm. Starts tonight, Liverpool against Bournemouth, and we fixed throughout the weekend. We have games on New Stock, I believe.
We do indeed. Nottingham Forest versus Brentford, of course. Keith Andrews' first game in charge of Brentford. A tricky test for them on the road against a Forest team who did well last season. That's a 2:00 game on Sunday. And of course, then we'll have commentary 4:30 of Manchester United versus Arsenal. Big one.
Is that the biggest first day of the season since, I want to say, 2003, Anfield, Liverpool against Chelsea, the first game under Roman Abramovich's tenure?
Biggest fixture, you mean, on an opening day?
Biggest two teams playing each other on the first day of the season. Because usually you just don't really get it. Like, you don't, it's you. Like, tonight now is a classic first day of the season fixture, Liverpool against Bournemouth, right?
Yes.
United against Arsenal is massive for the first day of the season, on paper.
On paper.
I think, I'm feeling, well, that's a long time ago. That's 22 years ago. So surely there's been a game since then, in the first day of the season. Does anyone have the answer, right? Two big names on paper played each other in the opening weekend. Liverpool against Chelsea, Anfield, 2003. I think Juan Sebastian Varane scored for Chelsea on his debut.
Jesus, yeah.
Adrian Mutu watched from the stands.
That's a throwback.
Had just been signed.
Premier League website has a good list of this.
Oh, he has me.
Arsenal, Liverpool, 16-17.
Sadio Mane.
Yeah.
You have a good memory on you. That's 9 years
4-3,
ago.
4-3, I remember that. I remember where I was for that.
Where were you?
Not much more after that.
You can't tell us where he was.
Double. that is.
That's the other, on paper, that's the biggest one. But that, to be fair, they might be open. No, it's open weekend. They don't even have down your game.
Bobby Dwyer's in the comments.
Yeah.
Great idea, Colm. I knew Bobby would appreciate this one. He mentions already Spurs black away is the best this season by side. No, but he also says the Chelsea and City play on the opening weekend last season. You have the memory.
That's great shout.
Mm.
Yeah, and didn't City win handily?
How do you, I can never remember.
I don't know. I can't remember
who played who.
That's
on
a great
day.
Shout, Bob. Yeah. Do you know what? You're about a good memory for me, and that's true to an extent. But per Bobby's example there, I completely forget what happened last season.
Yeah.
Totally forget what happened last season.
On the opening
it's
day.
Actually mad as well how, say 4 weeks ago on the show, right? On this very show, we would have been absolutely mad into GA.
Mm-hmm.
it's amazing how quickly you forget about the games and some of the games that we would have talked about in depth.
Yeah.
Do you know, especially like, say the weekend in, heading into the last round of the All-Ireland Series, or even the Monday after the, say, the quarterfinals.
Mm.
And it feels like we've never been more into this.
I think, though, that's possibly the nature of this job, and this job being when you work in sports.
But you can't keep it. You have to get rid of stuff in the head to let something else in.
Yeah.
But my memory of last season in the Premier League, I forget loads of stuff that happened. Maybe a kind of forgettable season.
Or Chelsea were being talked of around Christmas as, oh, are they
Chelsea were great first half of the season, and then Enzo Maresca and Cole Palmer double teamed to say we have no hope of winning the league. And that they manifested it negatively, and they went on a bad run.
Yeah.
Man City signed... Kyle Walker was the captain of Man City for the first half of last season.
Jeez.
And now he's at Burnley via AC Milan.
Yeah. Jesus, life comes at you fast.
That's the sign of it. But I could tell you what happens like 22 years ago handily.
You're a nostalgic man.
I just have a capacity to remember stuff that happened ages ago, but have a poor short-term memory.
Well, do you remember, because it's funny you mentioned that from the 03-04.
Yeah.
But remember the last game of the 02-03?
Yeah, that was Chelsea-Liverpool.
Yeah.
And the story goes that Roman Abramovich was deciding who to buy.
I know the games you're on about, but the fact that you remember which season...
It was at Stamford Bridge. It was a be-all and end-all Champions League, because I think it was top four back then only, so this is fourth. And I think fourth only got you a qualifier, so you didn't even get into the group stage.
Yeah.
And was it Jesper Granqvist?
Yeah. Yeah, left foot curl.
Yes, for Granqvist.
Right. Yeah. What a cult.
There was a time at that time in the Premier League, there was a lot of good Scandinavian, good-ish Scandinavian players.
Mm.
But they remember they go on then, because they were still Ranieri.
They were Ranieri
semi-final next year.
So Ranieri was obviously the old 3-0-4 season. He gave him the whole campaign. But that was like, so that would have been Duffer's debut for Chelsea at Anfield in the 03-04 opener. And I'd say Crespo played. They had signed Len Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
That was their opening salvo of signings. Duff was part of the first summer of Abramovich.
Jesus.
And Varane, like, it's funny, during the week people are comparing Florian Wirtz to Varane. That would be it going badly, is that Florian Wirtz is an undoubtedly unbelievable talent and has been classed, but would he fit into the Liverpool system / Premier League tempo? And the comparison has been Varane. I haven't heard Varane compared to anyone since he finished up. Like, it's such a nuanced and neat reference.
Yeah. By the way, Florian Wirtz has thrown me off completely, because I was looking up a video yesterday. I was like, how is his name pronounced? And it's one of these, it's like the Bruno Fernandes thing, where we're never going to say it properly. He says Florian Wirtz.
Sorry, the Bruno Fernandes thing is, I don't think we, as English speaking people, it sounds sarcastic if we say Bruno Fernandes, right? And also, where do you stop when you start with that? Because I think we're all saying Ruben Amorim wrong. In fact, I almost know for certain, because Jojo, our beloved Jojo on production, speaks the same native language as Ruben Amorim.
And he says Amorim.
It's Amorim.
Yeah.
It's suggesting an ING finish.
Yes.
And it's also Huben.
Huben Amorim. Our commentators do it very well. Nathan, Richie, Steve,
it's a slippery slope, Shane, because where do you stop with the pronunciation of names? Because we're probably saying Erik ten Hag wrong as well.
Possibly. But I feel like now, because I've seen that video of Florian Wirtz saying his name, I have to say Florian
Wirtz. Oh, is this when all the Premier League players say their name?
It was actually a club video, and they sat down and said, can you just say your name for us again? He said, well, it's Florian Wirtz. So I was like, now that I've heard that, I have to keep saying that, surely.
But
it'll
be vanilla to Wirtz.
True.
Probably.
Yeah. Monaghan accent, it'll just be changed anyway.
Yeah.
Some interesting comments coming in already on kits.
I haven't looked.
Oh, sorry, the predictions.
I haven't looked.
What do you have the list in front of you, the predictions that we're going
to... I wrote them down, I had to. It took me longer than I'd like to admit, to be honest, to do this. Do you know what's the hard part of it? Is to actually rank something from 20 to 1, because then you have to number 12 is probably worse than number 16, so I'm going to have to swap them.
Mm.
The actual formatting of the list took me a long time.
And is it a case that you feel, say, really strongly about the best 5 or 6, really strongly about the worst 5 or 6, and then the middle you don't really care?
Good question, right? I don't want to give too much away before we officially do the piece, but I only felt passionate about a handful of them.
Yeah.
So it was actually difficult to rank the rest of them.
Okay. So you just threw them into
As is often the case, in my opinion, the alternative jerseys are better than the home jerseys.
Third kits.
I think there's a bit of freedom to it in the creativity. There's not much pressure. Like, how often do teams wear their third choice kit?
Yeah.
Maybe a half dozen times. Like, do you know that iconic, for people who remember, in the 90s, United's black jersey, mid-90s, sharp.
The Cantona one.
They only wore that like 12 times.
Yeah.
But it's Roy Keane's favourite United jersey.
Is it? Yeah. The black with the sharp.
They wore it mid 90s. It was like 94, 95. There's a great game at Anfield, a 3-3 draw in January 94, where United go 3-0 up. Nigel Clough scores 2 for Liverpool. They weren't in that game.
Dennis Irwin scored in that game.
Spot on. Great free kick.
Yeah.
If people remember that, that's the jersey I'm talking about. Yeah. They only wore it like, I think, a dozen times.
Right.
So you have a bit more freedom. Not much pressure.
I have a list in front of me that we kind of half came up with on WhatsApp yesterday. And it entailed, obviously, the winner. And take note of these because we want to hear in the YouTube comments. We'll read them out later on who's gone for what. Winner, top four, obviously, relegated. Player of the year, signing of the season, flop of the season. Is that a team or a player? Oh, we have both.
Sorry, player of the year and signing of the season.
Yeah.
Would they be different?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Player of the season is the best player in the league in the season.
Yeah,
signing is just relative. All right, go on.
Like you could have Granit Xhaka as your signing of the season.
Okay,
could
I could. He won't win player of the season. Tell you that.
Flop of the season, which potentially I've actually maybe a player is flop of the season.
I went with a team.
Yeah, great.
Hot team to underwhelm.
Yeah,
is that a normally decent side who you expect not to do well? Yeah. Overachieving team of the season, which I think is fair.
Yeah.
Surprise package.
That's a lot, isn't
they're
it?
They're all the same. A lot of them are the same.
We'll
end up naming every single team in the league.
I know. I'm just going off the WhatsApp group.
All you really want is your winner, your top four, your relegate.
In fact,
we'll work off that.
So get that into us on YouTube, right? Your winner, top four, bottom three.
First manager sacked and top goal scorer.
Oh, first manager sacked, very interesting.
I don't have any of these ones.
I have a strong feeling on that.
These were all in the WhatsApp group.
I don't remember
from the pair of you lads.
I don't remember the first manager sacked. No. It went into my mind last night.
Someone threw the first manager sacked into the WhatsApp.
I don't think we did.
You must have your different jazz going.
Yeah.
Or did I just come up with that by myself? It wouldn't take much to come up with it.
Daniel Farke. Anyway.
In fairness, the bookie's favourite is...
Don't give it away.
It'll be Daniel Farke.
Bookie's favourite is Keith Andrews.
Is it, yeah?
Yeah. Unfortunately for Keith.
They're all going to be our unofficial team for the season, aren't they?
True. Arthur O'D at... 1:08 PM yesterday.
1:08 AM.
1:21 PM yesterday afternoon. First manager sacked? Question mark.
Anyone get back to me? What's the response there?
Colin Boohig, 1:46. Ah, yeah.
Fair play.
So
Rumble. Yeah. Good job, kid. Keep it coming.
Rumble.
So we will do first manager sacked, obviously, as well. But yeah.
Look. There was a lot of activity in that WhatsApp group yesterday.
There was.
Now that I look back at it.
Yeah.
So yeah, get them into us. Because we'll do the side. We're doing it with Keith, aren't we?
Keith Andrews.
Keith Andrews comes in.
Keith Andrews would be a coup, wouldn't it?
That would be.
By the way, someone said, or was it Steve-O saying yesterday his first press conference?
50 and Steve-O added
minutes.
50. Yeah.
50 minutes.
5-0.
That's unheard.
So yeah, Keith Tracy will be sitting right here, and we'll do a panel of the four of us to see the show out.
Yeah.
And then before that, John Bruin.
To see the show.
See the show.
It's the pinnacle. It's the climax.
And, but that's the main event. Like, it's the build-up to it, you know.
True.
With the greatest respect to Barry Murphy and John Bruin, which I'm also very excited about.
Buzzing for
love both. A bit of John Bruin.
Yeah.
Love a John Bruin.
Just brings a nice
vibe. And
obviously,
Barry's pretty much part of the show.
Yeah.
So that's what we have. Let us know. I think it's a very, very difficult season to call. And this is without getting into what we're going to specifically pick, but I actually struggled with a lot of these predictions.
I think it was Mark Ogden recently who I heard saying that he thinks it's going to be the most exciting / tight Premier League since 92-93.
What?
That's what he said.
Jeez, that's a call and a half if he can remember that.
I know.
He's a young man.
Yeah.
I suppose you could have looked back at it extensively, to be fair.
Look, if you have at least three teams in contention by April, you're laughing.
92-93, right? Bizarre first season in the Premier League. Still very much at the feet of a first division league. No names in the back of the jerseys. The names only came in the following season.
Did they, yeah?
Yeah. And instead of the medals... What do the players get? Manchester United players? The answer to this is?
No.
Mini Premier League trophies.
Oh, brilliant. Bring that back.
Which is great.
I'd say
it just must have been such a pain to manufacture them. They were like, oh, forget this. Yeah. Just give them medals.
Jesus, yeah. Bring that
so
back.
So yeah, no names in the back of the jerseys. So like, say Eric Cantona signed in November 92 for United. Iconic number 7 jersey. Like, he was wearing like number 12 the odd time.
Oh yeah. Bizarre.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
You think you have it in your mind about all this stuff is set in stone, about all this iconry from the Premier League early years. First season, everyone is just feeling each other out.
You couldn't have it nowadays. Apparently the Verts / Verts jerseys are flying off the shelves.
Yeah. Number 7.
Insane amounts.
He's going to be class.
Yeah.
He's going to be class, but like when we were here in 2001, we were saying the same thing about Varane. the three of us, little babies. Ron's going to be unbelievable.
Baby, baby podcast. Yeah. The opposite of Dadcast.
Everyone, every single Liverpool supporter I've spoken with is waxing lyrical and massively enthused by Florian Wirtz, what they've seen so far in pre-season. Yeah.
And look, it's a large amount of money, but it actually looks like not a large amount of
money
when you think of it. Well, yeah.
They'll find them. You know, you'll say, a lot of people say there's always a place for a good player on a team, doesn't matter where you play.
You have to play.
But it is interesting.
You have to play him somewhere.
Do you think all these new players will affect Salah in terms of how they play? So Trent Alexander-Arnold, right? Mm. Obviously the passing is what they're missing. So they have Jeremy Frimpong said, but Frimpong flies on with the ball himself, retains possession. So he'll go on the outside. So Salah will cut in, but then Ekitike will be there because he's going to want to score goals himself. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
It might not be enough about Salah.
Yeah. And then if Isak comes in, Ekitike is probably scratching his head as well going, what? You didn't tell me about this.
What?
So you'd want
you'd
wonder,
would they then? You didn't tell me you were trying to sign someone else. But it was just me.
Like, obviously, Isak goes straight to the top of the queue if they sign him. But like, they're still struggling for strength and depth at centre half. Obviously, Mark Gahey, if he comes in, that changes things. But
if they sign Mark Gahey, right, on paper, it's one of the all-time great transfer windows.
Yeah.
By any side.
Oh yeah. If Manchester United signed Carlos Baliba and a goalkeeper, you could argue that it's a
fine. It's good.
Very good.
It's good.
I'm not saying,
but
it's
I won't be getting too excited
that
there.
That would be if Cunha, Mbeumo, Šeško, Baliba, and
it's just you're just listed players. They're just signed players. It's not like it's not this like, oh, this is going to be a game changer.
No, it won't be a game changer. But I'm saying on paper.
On paper, I think Liverpool potentially is like they're adding to their quality hugely. There's one thing, it's a weird thing when Liverpool won the league handsomely, and the general consensus was they have a lot of work to do in their squad.
Mm.
Which I don't know, was that a commentary on the quality of the league or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, it was a bit, wasn't it? When like when the biggest team falls away so dramatically, like
it was such a weird season.
It was
bizarre.
Was it you were comparing it to 13-14?
Well, not like it was just like
Pellegrini's year.
I don't know what it was about that year. It'd be great to go back. That's also the year Atletico won in Spain. And it just happens sometimes. It's just like the odd kind of the way things fall that it's just because Liverpool should have probably won it that year realistically.
That was their year really, isn't it? When you think of that season, you think of Liverpool, not necessarily Man City. Do you know, sorry, this is opposed to nothing. Yaya Toure that season was unplayable.
Yeah.
And he's not really spoken about enough.
Yeah.
Yaya Toure was a joke.
Yeah.
Football was a joke to Yaya Toure for a short period of time. He could play anywhere he wanted and he'd run the show.
You probably remember specific moments from Yaya Toure that season. Dermot Keenan has said, no, it's not Dermot, John has said, Cullum, you got a memory like an elephant to keep those gems coming. There you go.
Like an elephant sounds like an insult, doesn't it?
It does, actually. But it's actually...
But it's a good thing. Elephants are cool. Like,
they
there's loads going for him.
Dermot has said Ekitike will go left side instead of Gakpo, which is probably...
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Fair point.
So, if they don't sign anyone else, their front three... I'm a bit sceptical about the front three because it will always change. But say, first day of the season, tonight. So yeah, what would tonight be? Salah, Ekitike... Do they go Wirtz in a false 9 meter? I don't think that's his best position.
Mm.
Do they go Gakpo and then put Ekitike centre forward? What do they do?
Yeah.
I must look at the Community Shield team here before obviously that would be a good indicator.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll be fine. I was just thinking because Salah needs the rest of the team to support him and there's a lot of individual quality now.
True.
So they had, yeah, that was the team last season, or last week in the Community Shield. Salah, Ekitike, Gakpo, and then Wirtz in the 10 role, if
Wirtz
you like.
In the 10, yeah.
Okay. Tabasling, Kiertis behind them.
Strong, still strong.
It is, yeah. Look, it's whatever iteration of the Liverpool team that goes out, incredibly strong. But Arsenal have had a really good summer on paper. Man City feels a bit like, sort of... Does Pep have enough motivation? Where are their big characters? Like, where? What's the crux of their team now that Kevin De Bruyne has gone? Like, Bernardo Silva's their captain.
Yeah, and Rodri's out for a bit.
Yeah. Bernardo Silva's an unbelievable player, like, but I don't know. Maybe captaincy doesn't matter as much anymore. And who else then? Chelsea's like, Chelsea, I don't know, Club World Cup champions and all
champions.
That. Best team in the world.
Yeah.
But are they the best team in the league?
Yeah, look, they've settled in, and look, we'll get into it later, but like, Delap and Joao Pedro will probably lead the line at the start of the season, but I don't know. There's still talk of Garnacho and Javi Simons, and if they get those two in, strengthens them further. I don't know.
Speaking of which, Sancho leaving as well.
Sancho, yeah.
Sancho, 20 mil is it to Roma?
20 mil.
They're going to pay much that up front.
What are they signing for, 73?
That's yeah, you could forget about that.
No.
I mean, that's all the way 2021 ago, isn't it?
It's probably not as high an offer as United expected, but also they probably can't sniff at it either.
Such a curious player. I remember we did a slot with Keith Tracy after Sancho started for Chelsea out wide against Liverpool last season at Anfield. Mm. And I was asking Keith, it was like, what's Sancho doing? It was very hard for Keith to actually be able to explain it like it was for anyone.
Yeah.
So like, obviously he's a good player. Obviously he's actually, in the grand scheme of things, a great player.
Yeah.
But you don't see much of it. Now, in the Conference League final there, who did they beat? Betis, wasn't it, Chelsea?
Real Betis, yeah.
He came on and he scored a screamer. Well, actually, sorry, it's more of a beautiful curler. Now, the game was over. So maybe when the game's done, there's no pressure, then you'll actually see how good of a player this guy is, and he could be better than most players when there's no pressure. So I don't know if it's a pressure thing, if English football just doesn't suit him, if he's better off in the continent. Because when he went back to Borussia Dortmund, like, he started in the Champions League final season before last against Real Madrid.
I think it's that. I think the Premier League doesn't suit him. I think if he goes to Serie A, he'll do quite well.
Himself and Big Ev.
Yeah, crossing the ball in for Big Ev. There's talk of Leon Bailey to Roma as well, but maybe that's either or in terms
I
of
I don't
winners.
Know why, but there's something about him that I want to succeed. Like, I want Sancho to do well.
Seems like a good lad.
Bit of an arsehole.
I can't explain it. I don't know why he's an asshole either, though. Like, obviously the Arsenal falling out with Ten Hag and all that.
Solskjaer obviously liked him. Solskjaer signed him, and then Solskjaer was at the gap so soon afterwards. Ten Hag clearly didn't.
Do you know what ruined him? He signed the same time as Ronaldo.
Yeah. In the shadow, you mean?
And
he preferred to be in the shadow.
I don't think so. Like, they had such an outlay on him.
He was supposed to take seven, wasn't he?
And then they pulled him aside and said, "Do you mind?" And he was like, "All right." And then he had an ear infection when he signed, so he wasn't well for a long time. It's just, if he could have his time back, he'd probably do it all differently and you could see a different version of him. I remember being like very excited that he was coming to the league.
Yeah.
Because remember in Euro 2020 that was played that summer, 21, there was the biggest call for a lot of that tournament was Southgate to start Sancho.
Mm.
And he played against Ukraine in like the quarterfinal or something and he was fine.
Yeah.
The people are like, "Ah, no, like, you got to give him a run of games." There's a lot of leeway given to Sancho for a long time. But he's a bit like, I could see his career kind of going the way Raheem Sterling's has. Where does Raheem Sterling go now?
Like, Sancho's 25.
I suppose Sterling's won everything.
He has, in fairness, yeah. But his reputation has gone down significantly in a fairly short space of time.
Did you want to do kits now, or will you save that to later on?
I don't know. I mean, we could. We could absolutely do it now. Do people want to do the kits now?
Yeah. Like, we have a few other bits.
What are you thinking?
But we have a bit of time.
I don't mind. Oh, yeah. Less time than I thought there.
Barry's in at 5 past.
Do you want to do the kits?
Fire away.
Do the kits.
Let's get them.
I wish we had a sting there because I have to get the list up. Do you want to do a song there for us, Shane?
Yeah, what sort of kits? What's a good song for kits? You're actually the perfect man for this, unfortunately. What's a good song to play into a slot about ranking football kits?
Look, that was good enough because I have it.
Yeah.
I have the list.
Just
all right.
Keep talking.
So, you ready for this?
Yeah.
So this is my definitive, exhaustive list of the Premier League home jerseys, all 20, from 20 to 1. You ready?
Do you start with the worst?
Starting at the worst jersey this season, number 20, Wolves. Wolverhampton the Wanderers. There it is on the screen, so hopefully people can see this slash. Now, for those on podcast, the thing about Wolves, it's the kit manufacturer that I don't like, that immediately decreases its points.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of Sudu.
I don't know them. It feels like a knockoff. So it's down in 20th place, last place Wolves. I'm not mad about it too. It kind of gives me Kilkenny vibes. Can I wear it with anything? Not really. Don't like that jersey too much.
So it's a Cork thing. You don't like Kilkenny.
Number 20.
You don't like that kit. Okay.
Number 19, Chelsea. Put some effort in, lads.
Mm.
Looks like a training jersey.
That's crap.
Crest, Nike tick, no sponsor, gone.
They'll surely have a sponsor, will they?
They didn't last season.
All right.
Didn't they have a sponsor very briefly and then took them away again?
There was a reason that was.
The one thing I would say, it's slightly better than their kit last season, which would have been in 20th. Their kit last year was an abomination.
Yeah.
Slightly better because it's plainer, but it's just so basic. It's like if you had a Shipping League team or Sunday League team, you could buy that jersey off a website because all you need is a crest and a Nike tick.
Okay.
You would like the Ireland blue jersey.
The Ireland blue one?
Yeah. with just the Shamrock and the Umbro.
I always give leeway to international sides.
Classic,
I don't expect classic. Anything else there.
Chelsea, apparently the reason for the no shirt front of shirt sponsor was failed deals and a strategic decision to prioritise a more lucrative long term agreement. So
going well,
basically deals fell through.
And look where it's got them, 19th position on this list. They'll be gutted with that. Number 18, another blue, Everton. This is the same rationale as Wolves.
Training kit. Oh,
manufacturer, massive down points in that.
Same manufacturer as the Irish kit, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. And I don't like the sponsor. Don't like that font.
You don't like that font? I don't mind.
And I'm not mad about the cutter.
It's like the font. Have you ever seen the Wendy's sign?
I like Wendy's away from jerseys. But then again, if Wendy's was on a jersey, I'd probably like that. Do you remember Muller sponsored Aston Villa?
Yes.
That was good. So that's down in 18 for that reason. Don't like the collar so much.
You like the little weaves.
I like the weave. Like, I like the bop and weave. But I don't like it as a combination. There's something up. The kit manufacturer is very important for me.
Okay.
I can't get on board with it.
Seems to be alright, yeah.
I feel like it's a knockoff and they've gone cheap. What's the theme of these first three? It feels like they've gone cheap.
I feel like two of the three also look the training kits.
Thank you, yeah.
Yeah.
Number 17, Newcastle United.
I believe Subo are a Japanese brand.
Okay, fair play to them. There's Bruno Guimaraes looking very delighted. He's captain.
It's the sponsor for you here, isn't it?
Sponsor's not great. I don't like how undefined the stripes are. So there's a kind of, it goes off black into white. I like a Newcastle kit that has a load of stripes. Fuck load of stripes. Do you know, it's like black, white.
16th.
But like, there's not enough stripes going on.
Is there a little blue?
I don't like the blue.
The turquoise?
I don't like the turquoise, right?
I like that.
I like a definitive black, white.
Just a bit of blue in the Newcastle crest.
So I'm not having that. That's number 16.
I think that's the worst of the lot so far.
Number 17.
Ooh, wow.
All right. Number 16. This might be a bit controversial, people. Manchester City. Don't like this horizontal stripe going on.
Yeah, that's per.
Diagonal, I should say. Puma is an interesting shout. That's why they're not as low as they could be. But I just don't like the stripe going down. Takes a huge amount away from me.
Okay.
All right?
Again, training kit vibes off that one.
Now, I got to be honest, that's a lot of these, right, I'm just kind of a bit nonplussed by for the following ones.
Middle ones,
I don't really have strong opinions about them. Bournemouth is next. Fine.
Grand.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I like those colours, though.
Yeah,
red and black is nice. You don't see it often.
It's a bit Bose-esque, is it?
So do you
AC
know what?
Milan.
Same colours as AC Milan. But why do I like AC Milan's jersey and I don't like Bournemouth's jersey?
Yeah, the sponsor's a bit unfortunate as well. BJ,
a bit more black.
There's something about the colour palette. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do people get what I mean by that?
That's
right?
Gold. The gold is the sponsor in the front.
This is Dulux stuff. Like, do you know what? There's a very different type of colours. Like, it's not just red and black. Like, Arsenal, Manchester United and Liverpool, all red. I would say that they're all different shades of red.
Mm-hmm.
Classic of each club is all slightly different red. And that's why the Bournemouth jersey is way down below, say, AC Milan. So that's 15. 14th, we actually talked about this earlier this week because they were playing, Spurs. Don't like it because everything's too centred.
Well, obviously the club marketing team don't like it either because they've given us a photo that you cannot see the jersey whatsoever. you have to squint and maybe shine a torch. See that one?
I don't like the crest manufacturer sponsor there because it's like a training kit.
Yeah, we might see this later on the list. I agree with Bobby Dwyer that the third kit is glorious from Spurs, but that one leaves a bit to be desired, I think.
Number 13 and 12 kind of comes as a pair. Number 13, Sunderland.
It's very Southampton.
Same thing, same problem as Spurs there. Everything's too centred.
Yeah, that's, I don't
know. And 12th is Brentford.
You're bang on. It is very Southampton.
Yeah. Sunderland and Southampton always looked a little bit different, but that looks like old school Southampton.
Do you know who would look good in those two jerseys? Kenwyn Jones.
Brentford.
He only ever played for red and white teams.
And the Brentford one looks like Stoke, to be honest.
Yeah, and I never liked the Stoke jersey, ever. Yeah. Not one of them. So I don't know, maybe it's a red and white problem I have there. As a combination.
Cork.
How are we getting on here? Is this enjoyable?
This is enjoyable, yeah.
The comments
are coming in.
So now we're in number 11. Manchester United. It's fine.
Mid-table,
it's grand. I don't think they've had a really good jersey for a long time. A really good one. No. But maybe that's where I am in life.
Tell you what, Martinez looks great in it, though.
Well, isn't he?
He's going for the fringe downs.
I think the black collar, blackish collar, and the black Adidas on the shoulders.
They had
an atrocious one a few years ago where they went red and black for the home kit.
Mm.
It was like Paul Pogba time.
Do you like
it
the end of the end of the sleeves there? The white part. I like.
See, I think white could do wonders for a jersey. Mm-hmm. As can black, as we'll see soon.
Yeah,
it's fine. As is number 10, Arsenal. It's grand.
Yeah, standard.
Don't really have any comments about it. It's fine. I would say. I think the sleeves are too white.
Yeah.
Which was actually an issue in the North London Derby last season. It was a slightly different jersey. I think it was whiter again on the sides. That they couldn't wear their home jersey in the North London Derby for the first time in Yonks.
Yeah.
Because there was too much white in it. So it's fine.
I love that colour.
Yeah, I love it. I was just about to say,
shows the
colour
again there. Shows
white
the Arsenal.
Lovely.
Oh, the round one.
Very classy.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
Retro vibe.
It's fine.
I do wonder how much Emirates paid to have the Fly Better slogan underneath as well. Like it could do without the.
I don't mind that font of that sponsor. But Fly Better, yeah, if they just had Emirates, it would be slicker and probably higher on the list, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Number 9, Liverpool. So again, it's fine. Now, the one thing about, and this is Adidas kits in general this season, I don't like that line that goes down the sides.
No.
I don't think it's necessary.
No, it's pointless.
Leave it out, like. Because sometimes simplicity is beautiful, mm-hmm. as we'll see later on in the list. So again, it's not the worst Liverpool jersey. I think it's much better than their one last season.
Yes.
Much better. The Nike one with the yellow.
But I think mid-table.
I think yellow and red do not match at all. So that's a bit nicer. But it's very similar to their, I want to say, 0809 jersey. It's very similar.
If they got rid of that line, that's a class one.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of mid-table Adidas jerseys for you here.
Yeah, they're all bundled in together. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to the top 8. Now, it starts getting a bit lively here. Number 8, Brighton. I just like blue and white as the way I didn't really like red and white.
Monaghan.
I like it. I don't love it. I like it.
I don't like the bar across.
Number 7, and I saw this in person in Gatwick Airport, sent on a picture, not Aston Villa. Now, this is for a couple of reasons. The sleeves are unreal on their John McGinn there. Do you see him?
Yeah, I like
see that little design in the sleeves.
It's got that same nice cool colour.
Baby blue's nice with maroon. And I think what I've discovered when making this list is I just have a massive soft spot for the colour maroon / burgundy. Which you'll see later, which I think people already understand where I'm going with this. Because I love it,
I see where you're going.
The only problem, having seen the jersey up close and personal, is that stripe I was talking about with Liverpool where it goes down. For some reason, you can't really see it in John McGinn there, but it's actually yellow.
Yeah.
I don't know why they've done that.
Strange.
But overall, decent. And Aston Villa, I don't think have missed on a jersey in a long time. Because their colour as a club is class. One of my favourite colours, Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Burnley coming in high here.
He's already thought about it. Number six. It's funny about this. This is very high up in the list, but I don't love it. But I think it justifies its place. Leeds United in sixth.
They rarely miss.
Rarely. It's an all white kit is just such a thing of beauty, and very, very few teams have it in the grand scheme of things. So again, and this is probably more so to Adidas. A lot of Adidas here, isn't there?
Yeah.
Very, very little Nike so far. Their sleeves. So the end of the sleeves there, you'll see. And then the blue Adidas stripes at the top are pretty cool. One letdown here is the sponsor, the red and yellow.
Yeah.
I thought they belong in the white and blue.
It's somehow working though.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
It's a bit of a pop.
And the full kit. Now, this is jersey, not kit.
I'm getting
John. But the full kit's cool.
If you take the sponsor out of it, I'm getting John Milan vibes there.
Yeah.
I can imagine Daniel Farke.
You know what it reminds me of? And it's a little bit, now I remember that Adidas neck. It reminds me of, you remember the Kappa Italian jerseys from like the 2000?
Oh yeah.
They had the same thing on the sleeve. I used to have the blue one.
I'm going to start welling up here. Kappa jerseys. Do you remember the Auxerre jerseys? Auxerre, the French team? Philippe Mexès, do you remember him?
Yeah.
They were briefly very good, Auxerre, in the early 90s during the Champions League. They played Arsenal at Highbury. And they had a jersey, right, that was Kappa.
Yeah.
And the sponsorship was PlayStation 2.
Oh, like, I see.
And it looked unreal.
Do you know who I saw in the week one? Huh? Somewhere, I don't know where, not in person. Jibril Cissé.
I was going to say Jibril Cissé. He's their favourite son, sure.
He looks like he could still be playing.
Yeah. He's in great shape.
That one there is blue.
No, it's the white version of that. It's about from 2002-03-ish.
Right, yeah.
It's unbelievable. And Kappa, they're kind of gone Kappa. And that fit has gone. It's a very distinctive fit.
Yes.
Beautiful. We're into the top 5.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
As
I hinted there with the Aston Villa justification, number 5 and number 4 are very, very close here. So number 5, West Ham.
You do love a maroon, yeah.
Maroon, yeah. See, but there's nothing madly special about that jersey, is there? Like, no. If you look at it, it's
that's
fine.
That's horrible. Sorry, that's your first big egregious.
That's my fifth choice,
that's
right?
That's a shock.
I tend to agree.
It's a damning indictment of the rest of them, I would say, right? Because I'm only really passionate about the top three.
The Villa kit's way better than
I'll switch my tone. I saw the West Ham jersey in person in Gatwick Airport. It's very slick and clean. It's not a great picture there, Jared. Is that Jared Bowen?
Yeah. Jared, yeah.
So Umbro don't do great jerseys, in my opinion. They've never really done great jerseys. Not now. The collar is good in this, and it's very clean maroon. It completely gets in this list because of the colour. The primary colour gets it. So had that been like a yellow jersey, for example, it would be like 21st.
The little bit of blue there, pointless, yeah, I think.
He doesn't even look like a footballer.
It looks like a baggy jersey.
It's not a great fit, not a great picture. I'm telling you, you have to take my word for it. I saw this jersey in person at Gatwick Airport and it looked very well.
All right.
Okay. Number four, Burnley.
Oh,
now that's nice. That's really
the
nice,
best
right?
Of the burgundies.
Best of the burgundies. Yeah, I think you're right. So you have the baby blue collar.
Sorry, now you're going back to the store.
Hold on now. Baby blue collar, baby blue sleeves, and again, the primary colour outweighs the problem that I have with the manufacturers.
Yeah.
And it's a gorgeous jersey.
Sponsor colour and the colour of the sleeves and the collar also.
It's
in,
the
line.
Sleeves, neck, and primary colour.
Yeah, that's.
Is the big one.
That's excellent.
Now, I want to take a break here for a second because the top three I feel very strongly about.
Should be a drum roll.
How's everyone getting on here?
Burnley is my favourite so far, which tallies up with your list. I do agree with Arthur. I think West Ham is potentially 8 or 9 spots too high.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I always love the Leeds one. I just always think it looks.
Leeds is very good. Okay, top three. So I think 20 to 4 are fine. This is where it gets really good. Number three, Fulham.
That's what he did it for.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, that's nice.
Best of the whites.
The sleeves, love the sleeves.
The problem I had with the Adidas stripe with Liverpool and Aston Villa is negated by how beautiful that white is.
But imagine if you took that stripe off.
Oh, listen, it's not a vintage year for jerseys.
It's an all-timer.
It's not a vintage year for jerseys, but the Adidas logo, the Fulham crest, there's loads going on with the sleeves and neck, which I love, and the shoulders, and all of it complements each other.
Yeah.
Black, white. It's my big criticism of Newcastle's why they're so low on the list. They didn't use these beautiful colours well enough. Fulham did.
That's unfortunate, the imagery. Like, Jared Bowen standing up in that baggy shirt just straight on looked horrendous. But this, they've got a player sitting down, player fit. He's leaning back, showing off his physique. They've made it work.
Dermot Keenan makes a great point there.
What's that?
Throw a pair of black shorts in that.
Oh.
Now you're talking.
DK, get out of the porridge game. Get into fashion. That's beautiful.
It's 7 minutes past 8 in the morning, Dermot. Calm down. Jesus.
You're getting us all a fluster. Yeah. Whoa. I really like that. I really like it.
Nice.
In second place, can he work out the two teams that are
left? Thing about it, no. I've not been thinking about it. So it's not. I know, like, some that aren't there, but.
I have one of them, yeah.
Who'd you say?
No, I said I can't think about it.
Oh, I thought you said Sunderland.
No.
All right, in second place. Now, we saw this last weekend, and apparently it's going to be a slightly different jersey this season.
Oh, yeah.
I was never, ever, ever a fan of this club's kit, ever. Didn't really like the colour combination.
Madness.
But there is something about this season's jersey for Crystal Palace Football Club that I adore.
Oh.
Look at that.
Oh.
What makes it?
That's early 90s vibe.
The white.
Yorix, is it?
The white Yonix? That breaks up the red and blue. They didn't have that before. So your typical Palace jersey in the last few years would have been, and we could talk to Damien Delaney about this, right? Would be the two primary colours of the club, red and blue, and they'd have like a yellow sponsor or something like that, and it would just ruin the whole thing. And there'd be no other colours on at all. But that white is so nice, what it does to the rest of the jersey. So it's like, got a bit like Levante or something.
That would sell well.
It's such a beautiful jersey, right?
What's the maker there?
Yonex, isn't it? Yonex. It's Yonix. What Djokovic used to have, wasn't it?
And again, so the kit manufacturer is probably slight negative there.
He's Lacoste.
But that white on the sleeves, around the trim, in between the two primary colours, it's gorgeous. Like, and into Dermot Keenan's point, combined with the kit, it's a home run. Like,
I can't.
It will make
what
you like the
team
more.
Yeah, I can't see what could be better than that.
No, it's very tough. I can't even think.
No,
it's great.
I think I know the club.
It's great. Does anyone in the comments, anyone at all, know what's number one?
I think I know.
By process of elimination, what club have I left out?
What about you saying it's Macron? I don't know. I'm not
it
sure.
It could be.
It's
Attilo Lombardo vibes.
Yeah, let you go to it.
Number one in my opinion, the best home jersey in the Premier League for the 2025-26 campaign. Nottingham Forest Football Club. I love it. I absolutely adore this. This is like a throwback to very, very early Premier League years, Nottingham Forest. Right.
Now the font you got, you did give out about a similar font earlier on. That's kind of Wendy's font on sponsor.
I love the colour, right? I love again the Adidas sleeves there. The stripes, that those tiny white stripes, right? Not just a great music they make, white stripes. They also make kits, as they have done for the top two this season. So that could just be a plain red jersey, right? But those candy little stripes, boom, 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 makes a pop, right? Even with, and without the sponsor, it actually looks better again, which we had seen in pre-season. Now, funnily enough, Nottingham Forest have not done well in this jersey at all, Shane. They've had seven pre-season games and scored one goal. But they're looking good while failing.
So what was your second place Palace?
There's something so slick about Forest this year. It's the red, white stripes. It's simple, it's classy, but it also pops. It's beautiful. And crucially, it's timeless. A lot of jerseys age. Don't want to wear them. Two seasons later, it looks cheap. Where you go down Nottingham Forest jersey, that could be from the 70s without the sponsor.
Yeah.
You'd wear it.
Yeah, fair.
It's simplicity with class and fashion that's timeless. That's what gets you number one spot.
I'm trying to see how it differed from the jersey last season. It's the subtle white, isn't it? There's none of those white stripes last season, so that definitely adds to it. And the sponsor looks nicer as well. Yeah, for me it's Palace number one, but you've done quite well.
I agree with
Bar West Ham.
DK points out, we've Borussia Dortmund vibes on the three of us here this morning.
Yes, we do, yeah.
Do you want it is Barry Murphy.
We gotta wrap up. We'll do it before Keith.
Okay. Coming up later is the top five non-home Premier League jerseys.
Don't give them everything.
Oh yeah, yeah. Jesus. Don't give it all away at once.
I just said what it was.
Yeah. That was worth it.
You all enjoyed that, did you?
That was brilliant.
Was that fun?
Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Was that fun for the whole fam?
And kept the comments coming.